Nothing getting done at the Capitol. Oh, it's time. We got to bring in our next guest. Oh, we love when we have her. She's only on once a month. Boy, she's a champion, too. We love having her on. Man, well, let's bring her on right now. I'm not going to waste another second. It's Liz Karantowicz.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz. Long time no speak.
Good morning. That's right.
So
our monthly check-in.
Yeah, it is. It is your monthly check-in.
You know, I have a lot to offer about that topic that you were just discussing. I read Kevin Rennie's piece with great interest.
Yeah.
And so there's one set of rules for the folks in charge, and then there seems to be a different set of rules for everyone else. And I think anybody who's watched the way in which the majority party has comported themselves in the political space over the course of the last 10 years can't be surprised. I mean, Gary, you know that there are strict campaign finance laws.
Oh, yeah.
In Connecticut, the strictest in the country.
Yep.
And they require that there's three leadership PACs that the caucuses are allowed to have with really strict campaign restrictions. Like if you go, I've got friends in other states who there's no campaign finance limits, there's no restrictions. They can't raise money during legislative sessions, but there are no limits on contributions, but there's full disclosure and things like that. But in Connecticut, it's $2,000 per person, per PAC, per cycle for the leadership committees. And what ends up happening on the Democrat side is that they've had all of their members go and set up these separate individual PACs, and then they go out and solicit lobbyists for contributions, and all that money gets cycled back in to the leadership PACs. And so there are multiples and multiples of these contributions that get cycled around. And there was an infographic that the House Republicans did. You probably were there. This was some years ago, maybe four years ago, four or five years ago, that sort of showed this sort of octopus entangling of how the money gets spread around. And for me personally, I ran independent expenditures in the state from 2012 through 2017 and had Democrats decrying my existence and calling me all kinds of names and saying this was an affront to the political process and affront to the campaign finance laws, even though I was following the law the entire time. And yet you have a sitting state senator who is the highest ranking person.
Yeah, on GAE.
On GAE, who is representing one of those groups that they lambasted me for. So I personally just find it quite amusing.
Well, the Republicans are asking not for her resignation, but for her resignation from the GAE leadership as the chair. That's
honestly
not too bad. I think that's easy enough to do.
I'm just for transparency, right? Like if you're going to be an elected official and you're going to solicit those contributions, you should be open about it. You choose that life. You choose to sit on that committee. You choose to have that job, which is fine. That's totally fine. But there should be transparency on that front.
Yeah.
If it's asked, follow the law, right?
Yeah, but they're not the party of transparency, though.
Well, you said it, my friend. And to your point, therein lies the issue of why they can't get things done.
They don't even
trust each other.
No, well, that's very evident this year. And we've known that for a long time. But I remember I would go back and talk to when I would have legislative roundtables in town halls, or I would do coffee hours, and people would ask me some questions that, you know, almost seemed like common sense. And it's like, well, you know, you got to understand something. They don't really trust each other, meaning the two chambers, the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats. I mean, case in point with that transportation bill that was going to implement tolls. You go first. No, you go first. Well, we'll run it together because we don't trust each other. That's not Republican against Democrat. That's Democrat and Democrat in the two different chambers. That tells the whole story, folks. Yeah.
The Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, really.
Right?
Yeah.
Running in the opposite directions. It's really something to see. And certainly these aren't the sort of accomplishments that these folks were putting on their palm cards and direct mail pieces and digital ads when they were running either for re-election or to unseat sitting Republicans. These aren't the sorts of things that they were telling the public they were going to achieve on behalf of their constituents. And so I think that's an important piece of the puzzle as we move forward.
Yeah. What do you think will come of this? I mean, it was in the Sunday paper, and the Sunday Hartford Courant has a lot of, it probably has its most readership out of the week. Is this another one of those issues that's going to get swept away and hey, do not look behind the curtain. There's nothing to see. Please move along, folks. Nothing to see here. Or will there be some consequence to it?
I don't think there will be, unfortunately. I think a good kudos to Mr. Rennie for highlighting the issue, but I think that there's a protect your own mentality within that majority. So
people continue to vote Democrat, Liz. I mean, you get the government that you vote for. You deserve, you know.
Yes, but we're not going to change that mentality. We're not going to change the status quo if we are the party of I told you so either. And that we have to be very cognizant of. We can't run around saying, I told you so. We have to look at ourselves and say, what can we do a better job of communicating, right? How can we better position ourselves? We can't just look and say, you didn't, you know, we told you so, voters. You know, you get what you get and you don't get upset, like they say in my daughter's pre-K. We have to do a better job of articulating what's wrong, who's responsible, and how we can fix it.
All right, and how do you do that?
We can do to fix it.
What's the first step in accomplishing that, then?
I think you see it every day. I think when you look at what Leader Claritas and Leader Fasano and their caucuses were able to do in fighting tolls, for example, right? I think that's how it starts. I think part of what it is articulating the reality and exposing what one party control in Connecticut looks like. I don't think there are a lot of folks out there who realize that one single party, which means one single set of ideas, has controlled state government for a decade.
Longer than a decade.
About that, well, on the legislative side, right? I mean, yes, on the legislative side, but we had a Republican governor up until 2010.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, we've had a couple of them. Yeah.
Right. So let's be fair. They've controlled everything for 10 years.
Yeah, but Liz, it's the legislature that sets the policy.
You don't have to tell me. I get it. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, okay, because here's the thing. I worked for Governor Rao. I know how hard it was for her to be that firewall. I know how hard it was for her to be a check and balance on an out-of-control legislature. And eventually she ended up with a supermajority of Democrats who would do whatever they wanted to do anyway. But when people get to understand that, they do get upset. And I give a credit to the House and Senate Republicans for the last 2 years, especially for a year and change, for articulating exactly what's going on in Hartford. And it has an impact. Look at the amount of citizen engagement we're seeing on issues from tolls and transportation to ammunition tax to vaccines to marijuana, sports betting.
But to that point, Liz.
We're seeing citizen engagement in this state that I have not seen.
Yeah.
I don't think if ever in my career, which, you know, admittedly is not, I'm not that long in the tooth, but long enough in the tooth to remember, you know, the big fights. And this is a citizenry engaged. And I think that is a benefit to everyone.
Well, you're right. I mean, there are people like Patrick Sasser who, you know, enacted a grassroots movement, one of the largest estates ever seen regarding no tolls CT. And you're right. There are activists who did the activist organizations that were regarding the vaccines. And there's some others that we don't have time to go into. But I think the citizens of this state are finally starting to wake up and rise up. and get involved because they just don't like what's seeing what's going on around them and the direction that the state is moving in. Whether that will move the needle when it comes November, well, that remains to be seen. But at least people are starting to wake up to it.
That's right. And I think it's a process. You have to sort of get folks engaged on what's happening around them. And look, this also happened last year. Let's not forget the bad ideas that got left on the cutting room floor. Things like a statewide property tax.
Yeah.
Things like pushing teacher pensions onto municipalities.
Yeah, I was in the legislature when they tried to do that. Yeah.
School regionalization.
Yeah.
And it's incumbent upon us to remind people that if given the chance, these are the kinds of, if you give them more members, if you continue to allow one party thinking in this legislature and in this state government, these are the things that will come your way. And so just because these bad ideas didn't end up with a vote doesn't mean they won't resurface.
Yeah.
And I think tolls has been a perennial issue on that front.
And tolls
regionalization has been a perennial issue on that front. A statewide property tax pushing, these are all things that continue to come back and will repeat themselves. And that's why we need to talk to people about, it's not a threat, it's just eyes open. If these are the things that you think you want, just know that here's the consequence.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I give a credit to Len and Themis and their caucuses and their members and their staff for really working very hard in a minority over the last year and change to better engage citizens on some of these issues in a meaningful way that has changed outcomes.
All right, Liz Karantowicz, much appreciated this morning. Thanks so much for being with us, as always. And, of course, you know, we look forward to next month when you're able to join us again.
Can't wait.
Aw, same here.